And welcome to the special Christmas episode of the Meet Musings podcast.
The podcast where we talk about disabilities and societal issues that affect mental health. And today, I have a guest who is someone that has a variety of experiences. He has a big heart. He is the founder of the Good Samaritan Home, which is a housing program for people who have come out of prison, so it helps them to restart their lives after prison. And he has experienced homelessness himself, so I'm guessing that's one of the reasons he started this. But we will talk about everything that is motivating him and how he's coping so far. And he also has been a fireman, he has been a counselor, he has been a minister, he's been a journalist, and as well as a multi-award winning author. So my guest today is John David Graham. Welcome to the Meet Musings podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. Listening to your introduction, it reminds me of a lot of the detours that I took in my life. And you know, I'm trying to be polite because it took me about 30 years to really find my niche, so including homelessness. So I'm very sympathetic to people who have going through similar things, particularly today with the economy so unstable that hardworking people find themselves in a very difficult position.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know so many people find themselves in difficult positions, but you've had an amazing career journey. You say you call them detours, but I would say these are exciting careers, really, you know, being a journalist, being a minister, then now you help people who have been homeless, you've been a counselor, you've been in a children's home. I mean, what more? I mean, you've worked in all different areas of life. So what is the best job title that you would say you've held?
I would say I'm very eclectic. When I'm polite, I call myself a Renaissance man, then meaning that I try many things. But unfortunately, I didn't succeed at many things. I only succeeded when I did the last thing available, because I was 53 years old, and we were struggling. My family had moved a dozen times with me trying to find the jobs that I needed. And they were not bad decisions, but the economy, plus also find myself wandering to what I wanted to do. And that's why I call them detours, because they're not really mistakes. Because if you learn from them, if you can benefit from them and use them, and that's what we did. Here I was, 53 years old, and I was unemployed again. And I told my wife, let's do something different. Instead of trying to just do a job, why don't we do something where we can help somebody else who's going through the same thing as we've been through? So we bought the oldest house in the neighborhood, all that we could afford, the cheapest one, and we spent the next several years remodeling it to use it as a shelter to help people. And all my background skills in journalism, because it helped me communicate and helped me write, but also in construction, helped me remodel this house. So I used those skills. And that's when the courts called us and said, we have people coming out of jail or out of prison who need temporary shelter. Will you help them? And so we started offering temporary housing to men coming from prison. Mm-hmm. And that blossomed from our house to now we have 19 houses in the Dayton, Ohio metropolitan area. And on any given day, we are housing upwards of 100 men and women in these houses. And there's no charge to them. We get our financing from the state, who pays us a per diem for the housing. Oh. Because it's cheaper to be in our house for the state than it is to be in prison.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
We know that prison doesn't work long term. It's only temporary.
Yeah. And is that what you will now call your niche? As you said, it took you 53 years to find your niche. So this is your niche now.
Took me 30 years to find my place. And I've realized that there are many people like me, and the ones we deal with coming from prison have been extremes, but they're looking for their niche. That's why when the county has a reentry training program, and here we have men who are 30 or 40 or 50 years old, and they've been in prison, and they're giving job training, and they get a certificate that says you are a graduate. Mm-hmm. And for some of them, that's the first thing they've ever done where they completed something and gotten a certificate. And the county will give them a suit to wear to the ceremony. And they just strut around in this suit saying, I did it. I really did it. It's a wonderful experience. So we cooperate with the local officials to help them.
That sounds so rewarding. And how would you
it really is.
Your previous careers and diverse experiences have shaped what you do now?
It's very easy for people who are successful to look at somebody who's struggling and say, just get a job, or just do it right, or stop doing that. But, or better yet, 40 years ago, Nancy Reagan said on the drug crisis, just say no to drugs. And what we've found is that it takes 7 times in rehabilitation to many times overcome a drug addiction. And we deal with between 60 and 80% of our residents have drug or alcohol addictions. So you can't just say no. So because of my detours, I'm more patient with somebody who's struggling to say no. So yes, I've learned skills along the way, but what I've really learned is to see myself in my residence. I've never been in prison myself, but I've certainly been down on my knees more than once.
Yeah, that actually takes me to my next question, because I wonder, you said you've had so many, all these details and all these careers and everything, but what actually drives your passion for giving people a second chance?
We have a faith-based program in that the reason we're doing this is not because of simple compassion or because of the economics of it, even though it is good for the community when someone gets a job instead of being in jail. We do it because it's our act of Christian charity, but it's through practical acts. I feel that the best way for someone to share their faith is not by talking about it, but by doing acts of mercy or kindness. So my staff and I, we don't require faith of our residents. We simply ask one question: are you hungry? Because that's the question that matters most.
Oh.
And we have found that when we ask that one question, that people hear us very clearly. They hear, how can I help you? And they hear, we care. So what motivates us is right now the world is very unstable and there's a lot of anger in the world. Mm-hmm. And the religion in America is politics. And I have a feeling it's worldwide. And we look to our elected officials to save us and to make our lives happier. But I have found that the only person who can make my life better is me in my corner by helping somebody that I meet. So I'm able to help several people in our houses. And that, to me, makes my life more meaningful. That's my passion.
I love that, because you say you just ask one question: are you hungry? If only people are that empathetic towards others, the world would be a great place. And I think world leaders actually need to emulate from what you are doing. And I guess what you have been doing would have had challenges. I mean, you've had so many in the neighborhoods because you are housing people who have just been released from prison. And then you are giving them homes. You are giving them second chances to restart their lives. But I'm guessing that people in the communities wouldn't have been so empathetic towards you. What are those challenges? Could you enumerate some of the challenges you faced?
You're being very polite in your question. When we started off, we brought the chaplain at a prison, referred a man to us from Cleveland, which is a large city about 200 miles away. And this is a rural community where we started off. And race was a factor. It always is in most things in American politics. And so here was a black man coming from Cleveland to a white community. And he was afraid coming here. And the neighbors were afraid of that, of somebody coming. And he said that he felt afraid walking the streets. And so what happened was, when word got out that we had a man coming from prison, petitions were passed around the neighborhood. And there were people, they went to the city council and they demanded that the city shut us down, close our house. Then there were ordinances passed and it became very heated and there were threats of violence. And over the next several years, this continued because we bought another house and another one. And so we had three houses over the next several years. And there were so many threats that I had to have police protection at one meeting. But I will say this, that I understood the fear of the neighbors, because on the surface, we always think that somebody coming from prison is very dangerous. And my experience has been that when they're released from prison, most everybody simply wants to get back with their life started. They just want a second chance. And so what we did was we had our houses, we made sure that they were clean and quiet and they were a better part of the neighborhood. And then when the snows came, I went out and I took my snowblower and I cleaned all the sidewalks in the neighborhood. And one day at a time, one neighbor at a time, we eventually won over the neighborhood. And we have not had any issues in the past 12 or 14 years with the neighborhood. In fact, they actually wave at me now. I think what it is being a good neighbor says volumes about what you're doing, more than I could present data and I could give you all the statistics. But all people care about is, how do I feel about what you're doing? And now the police department will actually call me and say, we have somebody who's homeless. Can you take him into your house? And the probation office at the local court will call me and say, will you take this person in? We're actually saving money for the local county.
That sounds so amazing on the peripheral of it. And I'm sure you've just talked about things like it was one day or 2 days, but it must have taken years, I guess, of you doing these little acts of kindness in your neighborhood, little things that make a difference in the neighborhood. So that's how you managed to get the neighbors to accept you in the community. But on the other side of things is the political side. How did you deal with that?
I think what happened was when the county realized that they were spending $86 a day to put somebody in jail, and that's dead money. But in community, if somebody is living in the community and they're working, they are paying taxes. They are buying groceries in the community. They're paying child support. When the county officials started realizing that it's actually saving them money, we calculate over the past 10 years, we've saved the county about $1 million in housing costs, because jail costs $100 a day or $86 a day. And if they don't have to pay that, and that man has housing or that woman has housing and they're paying back their obligations, that's money that community benefits with. So I think statistics are fine in the classroom, but what really matters in politics is what works. And our house, our program actually works, and they can see the benefits of it. I say it's a program that the Democrats will love because it's morally acceptable, and the Republicans love because it's financially acceptable. So everybody wins.
Oh, dear. Wow. I see. Yes, it's a win-win for everybody. If you are able to save the county $1 million at 86 pounds a day per person. Is that per person?
Yeah. Now, that's a very rough figure. The county doesn't pay for our housing. The state, we have a contract with the state and they reimburse us for our housing costs. We are a nonprofit corporation, so we're not here to make a profit. We're simply here.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To pay our bills and offer a service. That's why it's not a business as such. It's not a for-profit.
Okay. And it's not a profit-making venture. But at the same time, I know you want to be charitable. You want to help people. You want to help your community. You want to help your neighborhood. But it cannot be at a loss to you. So how do you prevent that?
When I started off, I had an attorney help me do the legal aspects of it, but I also had an accountant and his firm that would work with me with my finances because I'm not an accountant. Yeah. But what I do is by working with the state and having a commitment to work with the state, they will look at my performance to make sure it meets standards that are acceptable. But my accountant will look at my finances and say, here's what we can afford to do. And I have a board of directors who work over me and they will keep me accountable to those standards of the accountant. So I do have to run this like a business. But here's the point. We don't make business decisions based on finances. We make business decisions based on what is right and best to help our residents. So let's suppose that somebody comes to us and says, I would like to come back, even though I didn't do well when I was with you last year. And that happens. We have 20 or 30% who just don't want to abide by the rules and they leave. And so they want to come back because they realize that they made a mistake. The business decision is to say, no, you were too much maintenance. Mm. But the compassionate decision is we will give you one more chance. And we constantly remind ourselves that we're in the business of second chances or third chances. I just had a call this morning from a fellow who said, I was with you 4 months ago and I'd really like to come back. Now that to me says volume because he says, I know I made a mistake when I left. Can I have another chance? And we try to do that to take him back again, because maybe this is his turnaround. Maybe this will make a difference.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. I am really impressed with what you've said so far. My next question, what you've just said takes me to my next question, which is what impact your program is having on those people that you are helping in the community, just the people who live in the houses?
I'll give you an anecdotal answer to that, because we don't keep numbers, what we call recidivism numbers. The state does that. For example,
I'm not asking about numbers. I'm just asking how is it helping them to reshape or restart their lives?
How I measure success is one person at a time. And the best example I can give you, I believe, is Jimmy. Jimmy was schizophrenic and he'd been in and out of prison all of his life. And he was 67 years old. In the winter, he was homeless because his truck broke down and he was sleeping in his truck and he was freezing to death. The policeman brought him to our house and asked him if we could take him in. And we helped him get with a doctor, get back on his medications, and we gave him a stable place, and it was temporary. But Jimmy stayed 14 years, and he was with us until the day he died at the age of 81. And what he said to me was, this was the only home I ever had. Now, that to me is what it's about. What we did to him was we gave him a safe place to die. He felt like he was one of the family with us, and he had his own apartment with us.
That
to me was what we're doing.
That speaks volumes for me as well, because if somebody could say, this is the only place I found home, this is the place I call home, and it was there with you until he died. I mean, this is somebody that was homeless, that was freezing, the police brought to you. He had all sorts of things going on, but you've helped him. You reshaped his life. That is one, saving the world, one life at a time. And that's example of what the pinnacle of Christianity is all about. helping the neighbors, helping the next person to you, doing whatever you can, an act of kindness. And that's what will change the world. And I think, I mean, like I said before, how can world leaders actually tap into this?
I was a minister in a formal church for several years, thinking I could make a difference. And what I've found is that churches can be very political, and they can be very closed, and they can take in only their own people instead of the other people, whoever they are. And so I decided that I can still be a minister without speaking, and I can be a minister with my hands and feet in the street. So I found that the best sermons are the ones in which I don't say a word. I just serve.
Yeah. Serving in the community, talking about, I mean, you speak volumes without having to say a word on the altar.
That's right.
Yeah.
And to be very candid, our culture today is very angry. And what I'm finding with these podcasts that I've been doing with this same message of hope, that people are resonating with it because they're looking for a reason. They're looking for hope. And we're not going to find it in politics. We're going to find it within our own souls in helping your neighbor. I believe that's what the world needs.
Thank you so much. So that would actually take me to my next question. You do so much for others. How do you protect your mental health?
I would like to say that I try to take care of myself by measuring my schedule, but I don't. Unfortunately, that's my weakness. But what I do is I started 10 years ago to write a novel. And writing to me is very therapeutic because it allows me to get all these feelings out and to tell the story that I've been working on for years. And we published that book last year, and it's been extremely successful. What it's done is it's taken our message beyond Good Samaritan Home, and it's gone out to thousands of readers who have said, I identify with your story in the book. I've been there. And it's a forced coming of age story about Daniel Robinson, who's trying to overcome an abusive past, trying to find love and forgiveness. And I've found that many, many people identify with Daniel. I think we're all looking for love and looking for forgiveness for our detours, our mistakes. And this world can be very unforgiving. So the phrase I came up with was that life is written in pencil. We get a lot of second chances. So talking to you today about second chances is how I take care of my mental health, because I actually feel excited and renewed with this message. So it's not like I have hobbies where I relax. I relax with this story. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I'm really grateful that you have chosen to share a little bit of your story. I'm sure, I mean, I don't know how old you are, but you are definitely older than myself, because you, 53 years is taking you to do all of this. And you started life again after 30 years of doing different things. So I am so grateful that you have chosen to share part of your story today. But let's talk about your book again. You say, what is it called, and where can readers, and what are the three things that readers can take from the book?
The book is called Running as Fast as I Can, and it's found on Amazon. It can be found very easily, and it's in multiple formats. But the idea is that I call it everyone's story. It's about a boy named Daniel Robinson who grew up in the 50s and 60s. He grew up in a family where alcohol was an issue, mental health was an issue, and he escaped his home, abusive home, and he traveled all through the 60s looking for what he called a family of his own. And the 60s were very unstable. And it's like Forrest Gump going through all those parts of history. Daniel, because he started behind everybody else with his family abuse, he felt like he had to run so hard and so fast, and he could never catch up. And he said, I'm running as fast as I can. And I have found that people write to me and they say, I feel the same way. In fact, I can't even find the starting line. And I think that's what our role is now. Our role is to offer people a hand and direction towards a starting line. And they may never run fast, but they're running as fast as they can. You're doing your best. That to me is a message that I think that we all need to hear. And the book sales have shown that. There have been tremendous responses from readers that I've been very pleased with. So my point is, it's never too late to try your dream. Always, always keep running and trying.
And that takes me to my last question. What's the message you have for everyone listening to this podcast?
I came up with a couple thoughts at the end of the book. Number one, we like to think that life is a sprint where you go through high school, you get good grades, you go to college, you get a well-paying job, you get married, you have children, and your life is perfect. I found that life is not perfect, and it often there's a lot of mistakes and fall downs. Life is a long-term marathon, and we have to keep running. And we have to, more than anything else, we have to keep trying and forgive ourselves, because we like to think that life is written in ink, where we make a mistake and it follows us forever on the internet. But life is pencil, and you can get a do-over. And if I could share that message from the highest building, I would say, just keep trying one more time. Don't quit. Keep running.
Oh, that's an amazing message. Keep trying. And that's the reason we do this podcast, just to raise awareness about mental health and things that affect mental health. And like you say, people need to keep trying. Just do it one more time. You're running as fast as you can, but slow down. Take things easy. Take a deep breath and just take one day at a time. Run as fast as you can when you can, but take one day at a time and just keep going. And I'm so grateful for you to share your story again. Last thing, where can listeners find you?
My website is johndavidgraham.com.
Brilliant.
Contact me through the website. It has links to Good Samaritan Home. It has links to the book. Also, I do a website newsletter called Substack, and it's johndavidgraham.substack. So we talk at length about these issues of second chances and Substack. So I encourage people, it's free. And if you go to Amazon, you can download several chapters for free. Just check it out. And if you like it, then buy it. But I want people to engage with the issues in the book and then feedback to me. Let me know your thoughts.
Thank you so much again. And you've been an amazing person. You are trying your best to change the world. You are trying your best to do what you can to make life easy for everybody else. And I hope your life stays easy. And please protect your mental health. It is very important, and keep talking about this. We want people to have second chances. Well, give yourself a break as well. Okay. All right. So thank you.
Absolutely. It's
so amazing to speak to you.
My pleasure. One final thought is I'm 76, and if I can do it, I feel like I'm 36. So you're never too old to try one more time.
For those who are going through fertility issues, for those who are feeling lonely and vulnerable, for those who may be addicted in any way, for those who are facing homelessness, for those who are just not feeling the Christmas vibes right now, don't have any family around, I'm sending some Christmas vibes and love out to you. I hope it brings a smile to your faces. Keep your heads above the water. If you need to go for a run, if you need to go for a walk, just do it. And don't just bottle anything up. Just be kind to one another. Let us restore humanity. Peace on earth and goodwill to all men. Love is a compass.
I see you there when I'm in my dreams. And just like a child, all the possibilities. I can't help but smile at the wonders of the world. 'Cause I know I've been there before. No, it won't always be the same. And feelings don't change, they never fade away. When you're far from home, it's hard to know the way, but it's right there inside. Yeah. When you need direction, look to the stars. If you don't know where you're heading, follow your heart. When you're lost, I'll guide you, 'cause I'm right here beside you. Like a compass that leads the way. Well, you may take the long road, but I'll never fade. And when you're lost, I'll guide you. Oh, tell me you died too. Oh, remember in the dark days that love is a compass.
Thank you.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy, you're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.